You're listening to MRI Uncensored with your host, Matt Rederer, CEO of Right Advantage, your go-to podcast for all things MRI. No ear protection needed.
Hello, my name is Matt Rederer. This is MRI Uncensored. I have Maggie here, who is a student from Elgin Community College, to review a few topics that she feels she needs a little bit more explaining. Maggie, how are you doing?
Good. How about you?
I am pretty good. So what questions do you have?
I just want to know a little bit more about the optimizations of T1 weighing.
Perfect. It's a loaded question. So optimizing T1, we kind of have to start from the beginning. We have to understand what T1 is. And in order to do that, let's start with hydrogen. Mm-hmm. So do you know, the special behaviors of hydrogen? Have you learned any of the special behaviors that hydrogen has?
Like the moving of it in the magnet?
Yeah. So like the precession, they have a wobbling, that they have a magnetic moment. So each one's like a little magnet. They align themselves to that vector, or the B sub zero of our MRI unit, static magnetic field. If we put our patient in there, we magnetize our patient. So these hydrogens start to align parallel, anti-parallel to this vector, the static magnetic field. And it actually turns out that we're going to have an abundant amount of these hydrogen pointing in one direction than the other. So there's going to be more pointing in one direction than the other. So it kind of throws off this equilibrium, right? So we have this majority of hydrogen pointing in one direction. We said that each hydrogen is a tiny little magnet, right? So if we add those up, we get what we call this net magnetism. So now we have net magnetism. And this is actually what we're measuring from our patient. This is the signal we're getting from our patient. And each tissue has its own net magnetism, environment or lattice. You know, so each tissue has its own amount of longitudinal magnetization or net magnetism. Okay. Now, after excitation, so we deliver this RF pulse to the hydrogen in our patient, and we can reduce that down to zero in most cases. So we take that energy state of hydrogen, reduce our net magnetism down to zero, and immediately after excitation, we start to recover this tissue. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any questions as of yet?
Nope.
Perfect. So now let's talk about lattice. Okay, so lattice is basically the environment that our tissues are in. So we have tissues like fat, they have a low energy lattice that can absorb energy and release it more efficiently. This allows them to recover this longitudinal magnetization much quicker than other tissues like fluid, which have a high energy lattice. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept between this T1 and the environment is called spin lattice. Okay, so now that we know that we have hydrogen in our patient, they align themselves to this vector, either parallel or antiparallel, and there's a majority of those hydrogen pointing in one direction, which we call net magnetism. Each tissue has its own net magnetism, and because of their own lattice or environment. So now let's talk T1. Mm-hmm. All right. So T1 is essentially the rate that those tissues recover. So if you stop for a moment and you try to picture in your mind a graph, and if we have maximum net magnetism, and then all of a sudden we deliver this RF pulse, we knock that net magnetism all the way down to zero. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we turn that RF pulse off, and now they start to recover. So we can draw this out as a graph, a curve graph. So like it's curving up, and each tissue recovers at a different rate. So fat would have this faster, this more steep curve going up than, let's say, fluid, water. They have a longer drawn out curve. Now the goal with T1 is to see enough signal from our patient to produce an image. And we need at least 63% of this recovery to have this appropriate image, appropriate signal in our image. So that's kind of just the minimum that we need. So as those tissues recover, we need to find a period of time where we at least have the 63% recovery, and we call that a T1 time. Mm-hmm. And so that's T1 in a nutshell. So just watching that recovery. So longitudinal recovery is T1. Well, you asked the question about optimizing T1 contrast. So we know what T1 is, right? Do you have any questions on T1 at this point?
No, so far I'm good.
Okay, cool. So what is contrast? So contrast is this thing that we hear, and we have gadolinium as our contrast agent, and we have different, we have different T1 contrast, T2 contrast. Contrast essentially is the differences between two or more things. So if we want to produce higher differences or larger differences between two things, we're essentially producing contrast. And if we want to optimize that contrast, we want to find the period of time that we have the biggest differences in that recovery of net magnetism or longitudinal magnetization. And so we're trying to find this perfect period of time where we have this maximum differences between the recovery of different tissues so we can actually see different signal intensities in our image. And there's one parameter that controls all of that. So it controls our T1. And do you know what that parameter is off the top of your head?
Not at the top.
No, okay. It's a TR, repetition time.
Yeah.
Yep, so TR controls T1 contrast. So essentially TR is one excitation pulse to the next, that period of time in milliseconds. And so if we're allowing a specific amount of recovery and we deliver an RF pulse and we allow that to recover, we deliver another RF pulse, we tilt all that recovered magnetization into the transverse plane so we can measure it. And so that TR becomes very important in determining what our T1 contrast is going to be, because it essentially stops the recovery of T1 contrast at a specific point. And so if we use a very short TR value, we may not see a 63% recovery, and therefore we'll have a signal-deprived image. And if we wait too long, we won't see much contrast between that T1 recovery. So finding that sweet spot is very, very, very important. Now, I like using analogies to describe some of these concepts. And I'm going to use probably a poor one. You can judge me on it. I won't be insulted. But let's say you're at a restaurant. Okay, you're at a restaurant. You're with some friends. You're chatting. You're having a blast. And you're thinking, you know what? I'm craving dessert. I'm really craving some dessert. So you ask the waiter, waitress that comes by, you know, can I have a brownie a la mode? I like that warm brownie and the cold ice cream. I like that contrast. Okay. So let's say that waiter goes in the back, he digs in the freezer, in the back of the freezer, this hard, frozen, solid piece of vanilla ice cream, plops it on top of your warm brownie and just throws it on the table. Well, if you eat it right away, right, you're going to tear that brownie up. You're not going to really enjoy it as much because you're not really going to get both flavors of this brownie and ice cream. It's either going to be all ice cream or it's going to be, you know, mushed up brownie. But if you wait too long, you know, the brownie is going to be swimming in milk. So it's finding that perfect time to get that right texture between the ice cream and the brownie. And for different pulse sequences, that is going to be a different period of time. For spin echo sequences, it's typically around 400 to 800 milliseconds, right? Is that sweet spot. That's where you get that perfect texture between the ice cream and that warm brownie. Now, gradient sequences, we can go much lower on that TR, but still there's limits. And then we start to get into this flip angle, you know, we can manipulate flip angle, and we could talk about that in a different lecture as well. But the idea is this: we want to make sure that we're not too low on our TR, or we're not going to get enough signal in our image to produce a good image. And if we go too long, we're going to lose contrast. We're going to lose that T1 contrast. So finding that sweet spot is the goal. And just an easy way to do it, if you have time, is essentially just to sit there and run a T1 sequence at different TR values of what you think and it might be a good sweet spot, and compare them and identify which one you think is looks the best. And that's that range that you want to use. But for the most part, it's somewhere between 400 and 800 milliseconds for a spin echo. And you can probably go a little around 200 milliseconds for a gradient echo. Now, do you have any questions at this point on what we talked about?
Can you just repeat the milliseconds for the gradient one?
Sure. 200 milliseconds, you're probably going to be okay around that period of time. And you could probably push the envelope a little bit on either end. You know, you still want to look at the image, make sure you're not too signal deprived, and make sure you can still see the differences between tissues. And the best way to do that, if you're looking at like a brain, let's say, look for gray and white matter. Can you tell the difference between two of them?
Oh, yeah.
So if you can see that, you're good. You're good. If the image doesn't look too dark or too noisy, you're good. Mm-hmm. But the minute you start losing that and it starts looking darker and you're not seeing that contrast, maybe increase the TR a little bit. See if you can pull some signal back in there, pull some more contrast in there. All right. Any other questions, Maggie?
Not about the T1.
Well, thank you again, Maggie, for joining us. If anyone has any interest in advancing their knowledge in MRI, they can always visit mribuzz.com for more content. There's a lot of neat stuff there. There's a lot of games you can play and a lot of interesting anatomy and physics that you can learn as well. Now, that completes this podcast. If anyone else has any questions in regards to difficult topics, please send me a message to mrederer, R-E-D-E-R-E-R, at write, R-I-T-E, advantage.com. And I would be happy to answer them or even have you on the show and we can talk about it. So thank you very much for listening.